The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome back once again to Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. In the studio with me, Aaron Osborne. Aaron was with us a couple of weeks ago when he and Chris Jesse were here talking about some of the things that are going on at Metro, the transitions that are happening. Aaron has been serving as lead pastor for, I believe, about 10 years now, right?
That's correct, here at Metro Life Church, yes.
10 years as lead pastor. Aaron was actually kind of moved down to not be the lead pastor. He's moved down to kind of oversee a number of churches in the region that were all affiliated to a different movement of churches than Metro is related to right now. And so because of, though, of some issues that happened with Danny Jones' health, we talked about that in our meeting a couple of weeks ago, Aaron had to step in unexpectedly and become a senior pastor again, which you did, and you've served for these 10 years doing that. And now, though, things have opened up, and we kind of brought out the fact that there are a number of churches in the United States, as well as a surprising number of churches, and it's a growing number, even as we say that, internationally, that are lining up with this new fellowship of churches called Grace Partnership. And you just had the conference. We ended our discussion talking about that conference was going to be happening. And sadly, I was not able to come to it because of CPAC and my involvement there. But I hear you had a great time over the weekend at this Grace Partnership conference. So give us, if you will, a little bit of a report about that.
Yes, thanks so much, Mike. We sure did have a wonderful time. And, you know, COVID may have had our number down a little bit in person, but we were able to live stream this year, like so many churches have been doing since COVID began. And so when you take those who were with us plus those who were online, we had more people in that sense. And as you alluded to, our international friends were able to participate from afar in ways we haven't been able to do in the past. So that alone was a highlight. And I think the theme of community, partnering in the gospel, which was our theme this year, it was on display in that while a number of those churches internationally would not have people able to travel here, there were a number of leaders who were able to travel. And so the flavor of the conference really, I think, captured, Mike, this idea that community, yes, it is local. There are geographical realities to community. But when we say community within the church and specifically for Grace Partnership, we're talking about a unity around a common belief or conviction, which of course for us is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so to see how fast the relationships form, to just watch people get in cars that didn't know each other a day earlier, and now they're going to lunch and they're opening up their homes for future visits and things like that. That all just beyond the teaching and all the formal moments was just a beautiful picture over the weekend.
How many times, do you have any idea how many times you've been out of the country on these trips to serve other churches?
Well, if you're talking with Grace Partnership over the course of my life, those would be two different numbers. But I'd say right now it's averaging about 5-6 times per year, so about every other month.
Mm-hmm. And in your lifetime, though, you've gone to how many continents? Have you numbered that yet?
Yeah. And in fact, I call my one daughter, Ellie, my 16-year-old, my four-continent girl, because she's been with me in those trips. So, of course, North America, South America, Europe, and Asia would be the four. No one's knocked on our door from Antarctica yet, so we'll just have to wait. Or Australia. We'll have to wait and see about those.
Well, that's exciting to realize that in your lifetime, which you're a young guy yet, and serving in the way that you have, we're seeing through the work that you're doing. And that's why I'm so excited to have you on here, because not only are we talking about Grace Partnership in particular, but in general, talking about taking the gospel out, that is a general discussion that needs to always be, I believe, on the tips of our tongues. We need to never lose sight of that command that we've been given to take the gospel first of all, to Jerusalem, and that obviously is our local area, then Judea, and then I've always loved the fact that the Lord included Samaria. And I heard a guy say one time, Samaria represents those areas that we really wouldn't want to go or wouldn't go. Maybe we had said we would never go. And yet the Lord at times, you know, there was a point in time when I said, I'll never be a pastor. I actually told the Lord that. I'll serve you in any way, Lord, but
just not that one.
Not that way. And, you know, God has a way of saying, no, that's not going to be the plan. He does that. So we've got to keep that. But that fourth area to the uttermost parts of the world. And so in a real way, I just commend you for the willingness, because I know it's not all glamorous when you're traveling the way you travel.
You're right. And over the years, while above and beyond, I can say almost everywhere, every place, every lodging, everything has been a joy. You're right. There have been a few times where you're just more aware than maybe other times that there's the cost, of course, to your time with your family, time away from home. But if I can say this in a fleshy way, just away from your creature comforts. I mean, mm-hmm. we are products of our cultures. And so these opportunities to serve in other places really do help you differentiate what really matters from what are just nice preferential things. But I've got some funny memories of some places I thought, wow, I did not think we'd be sleeping here.
Yep, exactly right. And it's usually hotter, and then you're dealing with things that Americans can't even begin. I remember one trip I took, we had to sleep in mosquito nets because of the fact that we could have gotten yellow fever then because of the just the area and things that are there that I never have to think about.
Yes.
in America.
Yes, at least on more than one occasion, I've had to be under that mosquito net in India.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, when you think about this, all of these people coming in for this conference that you were there, there had to be a few highlights. What would you look back and think during this past weekend when Grace Partnership had its big annual conference? What happened there that you'll take away?
Yeah, so I alluded to this a little bit a moment ago, Mike, but the shared experience of community when you're just observing people from different cultures, they're at different points in their walk with the Lord, but you're coming together around something together that makes any difference just sort of fall away. Mm-hmm. And to see the joy and the laughter, speaking locally for Metro Life Church, if I can boast on it, the way the members open their homes, I mean, it just had an Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4 kind of feel to it. Even as we're speaking, there are still international guests being hosted by church family members who've just opened their homes with joy. So just the holistic experience of community. So it was our theme, and you can think, well, okay, that's the main sessions. But to actually see it on display throughout the conference and to see the way those who were there, as they're leaning in and listening, as different brothers from different countries are just bringing their update, just sharing with us sort of the report of the church, so to say, from their homes, the way people were leaning in and whatever was being asked to be prayed for, whatever was encouraging, whatever was a burden, there was just a shared experience in all of that. And so I think to sum that up as a highlight, it's for me, this idea, well, we could teach community, but you can only really teach so much of it. It has to be experienced. Mm-hmm. And I think that did happen in this conference.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. And I know you mentioned that some of the participating churches also provided like their worship team members. So you had a little bit of a different a flavor of leadership that was going on in that one. And how did that go?
It went wonderfully. In fact, that was probably one of the most common comments I heard in terms of how people were encouraged at the conference, which was to see the variety of people, the variety of gifts being used, mm-hmm. and experiencing that together. And so, you know, we all have our favorites and our home team, so to say, but it really was refreshing. And I think it also gave a sense of ownership for the partnership, that it's not a handful of people who are doing all the work, but we're sharing in this experience together. And so I know in different ways, I was affected by the different worship teams. And so just so appreciative that they were willing to step in and do that and really put on display part of our passion, which is that Grace Partnership, it won't function with just a few leaders. We believe in leadership. You need leaders. But just as is true in the local church, it's true in the partnership, Mike, that as each part is working properly, then this partnership will be built up in love. So that was a joy to watch unfold.
Now, did you have people, I know you had people from South America, from Europe. Were there any Asian representatives at the conference this time?
Not yet, but we did put out the prayer call that brothers from Vietnam would be able to join us in another year. We have had in years past dear friends from India. The government has made that a little difficult in these days, but we long to see that happen again.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the fact that having this conference this year, because last year you kind of weren't as, it was right before all the lockdown stuff started last year. And I wondered if this conference for you would even happen because of COVID, as so many things have been canceled or severely postponed, maybe put off even up to a year. I know some meetings, they scheduled them a year out thinking it'd be over. And it wasn't. And oh my goodness, so many things have been changed. But when you look at all of these that did make it in, a couple of questions for these international churches were, are they dealing with COVID the same, kind of the same level severity as what we have here in America?
Yes, if not in caseload, in the limitations on their medical supplies, options for people to receive treatment and care. And so in that sense, they've had to endure, well, speaking here in Florida, they've had to endure far more restrictions than we have had to do, longer lockdowns, greater periods of time. If you go, as I've had the opportunity, into places like Colombia, Bolivia, you're just aware that they are taking extra measures, you know, from you feel like you're constantly getting a spray of alcohol anytime you enter a property, a store, a cafe. They're contact tracing. You're writing your name down, putting your passport number in, where you're staying, just to go in and have a cup of coffee. But that's necessary for them in that their resources are so much more limited. So in that sense, it has been different.
Mm. And extensive. I can't imagine what it would be like for all of those things to have to be done here in the United States. But I know that some positive movements are happening in the U.S. and I'm hoping around the world as well, with numbers going down, people not being quite as sick, not as many deaths. That's a great sign. Not as many new cases. So that's what we're hoping for, that we can continue to see some things open up, and praying for that day in which we can have a sense of normalcy return again. I know that would be just wonderful for every one of our listeners and for every person in the whole wide world, because never have I seen the attention, and it's probably just because of that, the global sense of awareness over this one. It's much more talked about than any other pandemic that I've lived through. I've lived through a couple of them, but nothing like this. I've got Aaron Osborne here, and we're going to be back with Aaron in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. So happy to have Aaron Osborne in the studio with me here today on The Shepherd on Afternoons with Mike. And we talked with Aaron in segment one about the transitions that he's going through. And we had, again, Chris Jesse, who is actually going to be stepping in on Palm Sunday, I believe is the day that the official transition will kick off, with Chris becoming the lead pastor and Aaron stepping into the role of, I guess it is, what, a director of Grace Partnership?
That's correct. That's the term we're going with, a director.
The director, okay. And, you know, when I think about that, and we talk about a guy like yourself that is beckoning to the call of the Lord, something that I know God has placed in your heart. He's given you faith. And along with all of that, there are still plenty of scary risks involved. But I think a lot of people would wonder, what in the world causes a guy to be willing to step out of a place of comfort? And this has been the story really, truly, for every senior pastor that's ever left, let's say, a staff pastor role and started to plant a church, and to go out and you have all of those risks and all of the unknowns. And now not only are you doing that with all of the unknowns in the nation of America, but you're going to be, and what you'll be working with, are nations far, far away, and even reaching them and meeting them and working with them. I mean, there's just a lot there that could cause some people to boggle the mind that would say, Aaron, what's the matter with you? Why are you leaving something comfortable to do something that is going to be such hard work and at such risk?
Yeah, you know, the more I get asked that question and hear it asked out loud, Mike, I begin to ask myself the same question. What are you doing? What are you thinking?
What are you doing?
But no, I really appreciate, you know, the question, because I don't think it's one that's unique for me. I think it's for all of us, though the application may be different. And so there is the need, I think, for all of us to continually evaluate where we're at, and specifically as it relates to service in the Lord's house, in His church. How are the gifts you've given me best stewarded? Mm. I think in many ways, I'd like to think I've been fruitful as a church planner, as a lead pastor. But you know, you may be the guy for a time. You may be the person appointed by God for a season. Does that necessarily mean, though, it is for all time? And of course, it's not for all time. We have lifespans, but you know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. you realize it could be that the church is in a different season, or in our case, a growing partnership that started just very organically, that's starting to take structure. And in that process, you start to see where your primary gifts are, if I can say it that way. And so, Mike, if I were to use a baseball analogy, I think something we've looked at as a team, and this goes in combination with evaluating the needs of our local church, is that, if you would, my number one and number two pitches seem to be, through the confirmation of others, suited to this work of bringing churches together.
Mm.
Somebody said it at the conference this past weekend. I don't think they realized how impactful it was. I tried to help them to realize by sharing it publicly, but they said, you know, I'm looking at this partnership and I'm looking at your role over the weekend, and I see that you are like the mortar between bricks, that you're not trying to drive the bus. You're not trying to build a triangle and you're on the top, but just the mortar between the bricks. And I said, that is so meaningful, because that's exactly how I feel. What is my part to bring together different parts in a relational way? And so I think, yes, it's true. It's comfortable. It needs to be stated that no one, beginning with Chris, was asking me to leave my role at Metro Life Church. But as for me, as I'm evaluating and looking and seeing what's this next chapter at Metro, and I'm watching Chris at the same time, you just really start to wonder, is the next chapter really in line more with Chris's primary gifts while simultaneously this partnership was growing? So, you know, the last thing I'll say to that is Ecclesiastes 4 says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. And that agricultural farmer analogy, I think, just gets to, it is more comfortable to stay with what's familiar, especially in the face of uncertainty. How much will it rain? Should I plant the seed? How long do I wait? Those are important questions. But I think the point that the author of Ecclesiastes is making is, at some point, we're always going to need to take a step of faith, no matter what. That's the pattern in Scripture. And so a COVID 2020 would say this isn't the year, or the comfortability might say this isn't the year. But I think as we've evaluated our gift mix, this seems good to us, and we hope, we trust to the Holy Spirit.
You know, in 1985, a little personal story that happened that kind of goes along with what you're saying about seasons and time frames, and just because you're called to one thing, that doesn't mean you're called for the rest of your life to serve in that one thing. And that happened to me in 1985. I'd been called into ministry. At that point, I'd been serving and privileged to serve with my father-in-law at a church and it was a great church in Henderson, Kentucky. And I was happy there. We were near both families, Cindy's family and my family. And that's where I had grown up, in that general area. And yet, all of a sudden, there was an uneasiness in my heart there was something changing in my heart, an uneasiness of feeling that I'm not doing what I need to be doing, but I didn't know what it was I should be doing. And I, out of the blue, Aaron, what happened was I started getting these opportunities started opening up. I'd been working with a church in a community of about 30 miles away. And out of the blue, they asked me to come and be their lead pastor. And I thought, oh my goodness. Well, at the same time that happened, a very large church in Louisville, Kentucky had a very well-known church, had a lunch one day with my father-in-law and with the pastor at that church. And he asked me right in front of my father-in-law, who was my boss. I couldn't believe it. He said, we would like for you to come to Louisville and lead our television station and our radio station.
Wow.
And I thought, oh my goodness. And it would have been, that was a very attractive opportunity if that's what God wanted me to do. Obviously, I could have stayed where I was in Henderson and continued to serve my father-in-law, which I loved. And then there was this fourth thing, and it was move to Orlando and to join with a brand new church, not knowing how in the world I was going to make any income. But you know what? God messed the nest up, if you will, in that illustration from the word in the Old Testament, the eagle that messes up, that ruffles the nest. And I was being kicked out of that comfortable nest to go to an area that I really far away, 850 miles away almost. And that kind of thing, when it came down to it, one day I was mowing the grass at my house, and I was having a talk with the Lord. I was really disturbed. I said, Lord, what are you calling me to do? And I sensed a question from God. If you're 60 and you do not take this thing of moving to Florida, when you're 60, will you regret it? And I sat there and I thought about that question. I thought, where in the world did that question come from? But I realized I would regret it. Because that's how real, Aaron, this urgency was called. And I think that's what's happening to you.
Yes, I relate to that. And I think you'd say the same as I would, Mike, that sense of call, that urgency, it is not an assurance of success. It's not saying that the path will be easy. You know, the runway lights will just be so crystal clear. There is, you know, I think we live in a culture, particularly here, and this is where international travel helps me. The going not knowing sounds great until you're called to it. And in our culture, we are the opposite. I need to know to determine if I'll go. But that's never been the pattern in Scripture. We just don't see that. And that wasn't just a in-time cultural dynamic. That's an all-time until the Lord returns dynamic. There's going to need to be people in every generation who are willing to take faith-filled risks for the glory of God. Whatever the results are is secondary, but who do, as you did, respond. And praise God, you're not now looking back with that kind of regret that what might have been had I heeded the call that I believe the Lord gave me all those years ago.
Well, it's so, what you said earlier is so true. Number one, I did hit age 60, still in the ministry. And when I hit that age, I remembered that conversation just like it were yesterday. And I was so grateful. And number two, I was called, I felt originally, to Orlando to be part of that church. But in the process of determining gifts and determining where I should be, you know, and really seeking God's will, in 2002, we made the move to Gainesville, away from Orlando. And I thought, well, when this was first proposed to me, I thought, no way. I'm called to Orlando. I'm going to die in Orlando. No. Well, I might still.
Possibly.
Now that I'm back.
But not without a break for a decade and a half.
A 17-year break in serving in Gainesville. And I look back, and that unexpected thing brought one of the most delightful seasons of our life. Really, it was. And we had so many and gained so many friends and so many memories that when it came time for us to move back down, now the Lord is shifting sands again under our feet, and we're moving again now back to Orlando. It was actually hard to leave some friends and that work there.
Yeah, and I can relate to that, having moved my family 10 years ago from Pennsylvania. But I think you're touching on a concept that, again, this isn't just for you and me, Mike. This is for every believer, which is that we need to maintain a pilgrimage mentality, because that's what we are. Mm-hmm. And again, that doesn't mean that everyone should upend their lives and go somewhere. That needs to be clear, that calling is from the Lord, and that's confirmed through a multitude of counsel. And so we have so many means of grace to help us to discern those things. But the settler mentality, I think, is... Well, I think it keeps many Christians on the shelf, not even necessarily with a move, but say, for example, in their local church and the use of their gifts. When we settle, we just get dusty. And so one way or the other, we've got to keep that pilgrimage mentality.
Well, and you're stepping out with that pilgrimage mentality. And I'm thinking of when Abraham was called by the Lord to leave and to go out into a land that he did not know. And he had all of that adventure. And in a real way, you're doing that. And I know that even in the interim, even while you've been in this 10-year block, there have been many doors opened for you to walk through that you would never have thought they would ever open, right?
You're absolutely right, Mike. You alluded to this really surprising interest in our partnership that we're receiving in Latin America. And a dear friend of yours and mine, Phil Corson, I just recently had the privilege to spend 4 uninterrupted days with 15 Colombian pastors. And we just marvel at their desire to build with us. But, you know, that goes back to, you know, I'm not sure who everyone is in your audience listening today, but that goes back to a prophetic word, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I was receiving from different people about a future and Latin ones. And really, that's all that was shared. And in my context at that time, that just didn't make a whole lot of sense because, I mean, you know, my little town had the same Mexican cantina that every town had, but it wasn't exactly booming with Latinos. And here we are all these years later, you know, and stepping through some of these doors where you see that that's how it is in this pilgrimage, you know. There's a time, there's a process, and God will do it in his time.
He does it in his time, and he is, when we look back on what he did, that's the cool thing about all of these steps and all of these things that we've made in faith, a step towards something that scared us to death in the beginning, but we did it because we had faith. Then when we look back on it, it was like, oh, now I clearly see why God was doing. And I know that you and Melissa, you guys are doing that right now. You're able to look back and realize, okay, so we didn't see all the crooks and the turns in the road, the bends around the mountains. But you know what? We're looking back at it now, and this is making some sense.
Yes, and you said it well. I mean, you mentioned Abraham earlier. I mean, think of any of the stories in Scripture of the saints of old who took faith-filled steps. And then for those stories that are recorded, it's never a straight line, either because of their own fallen nature that goes along with us on these journeys, or in the plans of God, they thought it would go one way, but it had to go another way. And yet they all come to that place. I mean, I'm thinking of Joseph now. I mean, wow, the penultimate story, but how does Genesis conclude? You know, what you intended for harm, mm-hmm. God meant for good. And mm-hmm. just those may not be the same words with each of our journeys, but still that same idea that even the things along the way that seem so out of the plan or what we thought it would be become part of the purposes of God that we can testify to a little later on.
You know, I had Jim Henry on the show. Jim was longtime pastor at First Baptist here. And the kind of word that you mentioned, that prophetic word, you know, he was telling me, you can call that, different denominations will refer to hearing from the Lord in different ways. But that gift that you mentioned, that you alluded to, he operates in that. And he was telling me a story about how that he walked by a guy, he saw a guy walk by him, and since God just tell him, you need to go talk to that guy. Mm. There's something there for you. And Jim has learned to obey that kind of leading. And that kind of a prophetic thought, that an impact that hit him, and he did, and it turned out to be a massively important conversation that he had with that person. Amen. His person's life changed as a result of that.
But it started, as you said, with him taking that faith-filled risk to, to just respond to what he believed the Lord was telling him to do.
Wow. Well, I'm so excited you're doing that. When we come back, we're going to hear ways, first of all, that our listeners could actually join in and help you, although I know that's not certainly the only reason you're here today, but it would be a wonderful, for me as a host here, it would be a wonderful benefit if some of our listeners felt compelled to invest in what you're doing and how you're doing it, and all of these dear people in these other countries who do not have the resources, they do not have the sense of openness to the gospel that Americans have had all these years. We're praying that we can always continue to keep them here in America. And there's no less of a few risks even on that one, but we're fighting that fight to keep it open. But we here in America still have the ability to be together, to preach the gospel openly. And I'm grateful for that. And Aaron is going into some areas where it's not quite as received. And there are other risks that are there. And I'm so grateful for his willingness to do that. And maybe some of you would like to take part in that. We're going to hear more about that in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Back again with my good friend Aaron Osborne. I've known Aaron for a number of years. Back when I first met you, Aaron, you were a pastor up in Pennsylvania. And you were speaking at a conference that I was attending. And I remember you, first of all, because it had come to my attention that you and Chris had actually attended a pastor's college together. So he knew you well long before I did. And it's so exciting. Of course, Chris Jesse is my son-in-law. And I got to go up at a conference while you guys were in school there in that very city. And that was a lot of fun as well. So it's really great to have gotten to know you. Really wonderful that the Lord brought you down to Florida. And we've been able to know each other all these 10 years in Florida together, even though when you did come down, I was still in Gainesville. And now I'm back in Orlando again. This is just a crazy turnaround. So we talked about at the end of last segment about how that some of our listeners could actually take part and in a real way, grabbing one of the names in your organization's name, Grace Partnership, they could actually partner with you.
Yes, they could. And Mike, there's really two primary ways. And I appreciate that you said in the last segment that that's not our main driver, but there is a reality that we are praying and asking the Lord to bring those pastors and churches, that would be one way, that are either not in a partnership, not really formally affiliated with something, but they long for that. They could be a church that feels like we're just not even sure where to begin with mission. We want to be connected. And so my hope is some of your listeners are either pastors or a member in a church where they think this would benefit their pastor. But I got asked this question recently. So is Grace Partnership, is it about church planting and church care, or is it more of a Compassion International? And I said, yes. The answer is yes, because within the partnership, we are building one church at a time. But one need not be a part of a Grace Partnership church to share in our vision. You know, James 1 tells us, Mike, that religion that's pure and undefiled before God is this, that we look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained from the world. So for us specifically, we want to ensure that, we know we can't do everything, but we want a holistic partnership. And the way we'll care for those orphans and widows may look different and unique church to church. But my point in sharing that is someone may really have a heart for something that they see. Oh, you guys are doing that. I would love to participate in that. I would love to see what's going on. I would love to financially support that. And so that's those are the two main ways we see people getting involved. A church gets connected to us, or an individual finds out about Grace Partnership. And by reading, seeing what's there, their heart just finds like an affirmation that this is something I want to know more about. I'd like to get behind.
So when I and my wife are watching this show that we've discovered and we enjoy, it's from the UK. It's called The Repair Shop. And people bring things that are really mementos in their life, maybe a watch, or maybe it's like some sort of a ceramic figurine that's been either broken or is in poor condition. These people are able, they have this knowledge, they have this ability to go inside And the watch guy always amazes me because the parts and the pieces of that, of something that you'd think, I would think, there's no way you're going to fix that thing. It's been around for 70 years and the parts are probably, but they have a way of even making parts and it's just nuts. So if someone were to say to you, if I were to pull the cover off of Grace Partnership, what makes it tick? What would you say?
That's a great question. You know, from a vision statement perspective, Mike, we would say the clock that's taking us round and round is a shared vision of mission, equipping, and care, where those three come together to give us a shared experience. And just by a little bit of definition, by mission, it would be what is God doing through a local church that could really use the support of others. And I don't mean merely financial, but the laborers, the prayer warriors, where they're aware that God has asked them to take something on that's just bigger. So for example, we have a partnership church in Barranquilla, Colombia, and the name of that church is Misión Rescate. Well, a few years ago, they believed God was calling them to start a free seminary. There's a great need for sound doctrine being taught to men and women in the nation of Colombia. And so they took this faith-filled step and they were wonderfully overwhelmed and quickly realized their facility wasn't enough. Their technology wasn't enough. And then COVID came. And so as an example, they found themselves in this place where our students can no longer get to us and we don't have the broadcast capability, but they're home. They're not working right now. We could seize on this time and really instruct, albeit not in person, we could instruct, but how are we going to do that? We have six different classes running. How do we do this? Well, that's where the partnership came in. And together, in this case, it was a financial gift, but we were able to provide what they needed that they didn't have themselves. In fact, no one church had by itself. We came together and they were able to take care of everything they needed technologically speaking, so that they could simultaneously be broadcasting out the various classes that they're teaching at the same time, instead of having to do just one at a time. And so on the other end, the students could tune right in to their particular class. So to me, that's one of those examples of, wow, we were able to do something together that we couldn't do apart. And then for those who are, for example, partnering with the partnership and they're giving, for them to hear those stories, one thing we try to do is minimally once a month, if not twice a month, send an update out to all the sponsors, all the supporters, so they know what's happening. So one time they'll be getting that kind of information. Your support is making possible the ongoing equipping of over 600 students in Colombia, or your giving is making possible fresh water at the orphanage Casa de Esperanza in Caranavi, Bolivia, and examples like that where one church, or in the case of the orphanage, one orphanage can feel like we know this is what God's called us to, but we don't have all that we need to do it. Well, that's the New Testament pattern. And that's the beauty of churches that are, on one hand, autonomous. And by that, I mean, they are run by their own local plurality of eldership, but yet they're interconnected. They come together and through that partnership, they're able to carry out the vision God's given them in a way together that they never could on their own. That makes us, well, you might say that gets our heart rate up.
Well, you know what? All leaders need that kind of pollination of being with other leaders and finding out. I don't think I've ever met a single pastor that did not really seek out to have a friend in the ministry someplace else, because at times it's so important to bounce ideas off of people who are doing it and find out how they're handling particular type of strategy issues, maybe a campaign, let's say, for evangelism or whatever, and finding out what works for you and would that work for us and all of that kind of a thing. So you guys are stepping in and helping people in Colombia. And there's a lot of people, you know, I think of my life, I've never known until this particular opportunity, I never even knew anyone from that part of the country or the part of the world. And yet you're making an impact, not just an impact, a direct impact into the lives of not one, but many people in Colombia. And here's another thing, Aaron, when you're helping those pastors and you're training those pastors, you have no idea of how many people they're going to reach.
Exactly.
And that's putting up treasures in heaven right there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you said something a moment ago. I was thinking about this. You talked about that clock repair man. And I feel like that is something we're hoping to bring in the partnership. So I mentioned that shared mission, but the care side, it's not exclusively to the pastors, but for the reason you just stated, as we care for the pastors, they in turn are caring for their flock, their little multitude. It's not the work of the partnership. It's not even realistic for the partnership to be able, a director or two or three, to provide that kind of care. And so we do focus intentionally on those leaders. And that's not new. We didn't invent that. Jethro taught us that back in the book of Exodus. But by care, and back to that clock example, I feel like what we're seeking to do is, as you sit down over coffee or what have you, and you're hearing the questions, you're hearing the stories, you're aware that you've got a bank of experiences. And in my case, I would say often learning from mistakes you've made in the past or how we do that differently. And so you're offering, like that clock repairman, he's made repairs before. He's seen this challenge, this question, this problem before. Last night I was in my garage trying to figure out why our air conditioner was running but not giving us any cold air.
Ooh.
And I'm not an air conditioner repairman, but Mike, I've had to go to that air conditioner enough times and learn and go through that bank, if you will, of experiences past that shed some hopeful wisdom on the present. And by the way, by the grace of God, we solved it last night and the AC's back on. But it was actually through lessons learned in the past. And so that's the kind of care we're seeking to bring. Here's what we've seen and heard and learned and received, and we're passing it on to you freely in the sense that we don't come authoritatively. You must do this. You must do that. No, we really believe in the plurality of elders in those local churches. But when they're asking, when that open door is there to share, and maybe you'd say the same in your life, so often I find what I'm sharing is through lessons learned, sometimes the hard way in the past. And that's a joy to do.
Yeah, my dad used to say something. He said, I graduated from the school of hard knocks. I've heard that from him many times. And you're right. We learn some of the most important lessons by things that we maybe didn't handle the way we should have.
I'm going through one of those in a very profound way right now, where there's a lot of learning going on that hopefully will benefit someone in the future. And of course, myself right now.
And not only right now, but I mean, when you do this and when you go through it, and you will make it, you're going to make it through that. It actually gives you a furthering bank of wisdom that you are going to be able to share even to people yet that you don't know, yet unseen. And to me, that's one of the most amazing things about the Lord and the way he causes us to live. We live our lives. We start off not knowing. I look back and I've listened to some of my early messages when I was a young pastor.
That's painful.
Oh, my word. I've looked at my notes that I made in the liner. I've got one Bible that I still have. I mark that Bible up over and over and over, and as much as I love it now, I can't stand to read it because I think, oh, what was I thinking? Or, no, that's not good theology. What was I doing? But you know, God was so patient with me through all of those errors and brought me through them all. And he's going to do that for you. He's going to do that for your group of churches that are coming together. But you're gaining wisdom. And you're gaining, I believe, equity in areas, even though you may do something different the next time you go to that country, you've learned something that will help you when you do go to that country.
Yeah, that sure is the hope. And as you said, I mean, isn't that the biblical pattern, Mike? I alluded to it a moment ago, but that's what Paul said, what I've heard and learned and what you've heard and learned and received from me, pass this on. That's really what the partnership is seeking to do. It's to pass it on. And I think we get this as parents, you know, when our children reach that age where perhaps in their young adulthood, where you get that sense they're really leaning in and receiving what you're saying. And if you get to see that they were able to benefit from that counsel in a way that they didn't have to repeat the same mistake. There's so much joy in that. And I think that plays out across the areas of our life that God's called us to, in this case, in the partnership. So as you said, you know, I'm young, but then again, I'm not so young. I go and I travel to these places, and at 48 years of age, I realize, oh, well, I'm so grateful my brother Phil Corson's here, because otherwise I would be the oldest man in the room. And so that brings me some comfort. But to take, you know, while I still have some vigor to be able to travel in these years, and yet I'm not exactly a spring chicken. So to take those shared experiences and hopefully, as you said, reaching into the lives of those we'll never meet this side of glory, that's a beautiful reason to partner.
It sure is. When people ask you, Aaron, what is the difference between a partnership like Grace Partnership and a denomination? How do you answer?
Well, that's a great question. You know, when I think denomination, Mike, and when I first was came to Christ, I was in a denomination, didn't know anything about it, but later would learn that typically, this is not necessarily true across the board, but typically there is much more uniformity or homogeneity, if you will, within a denomination. And that may be loosening up a little bit more in our day and age, but historically speaking, you know, and I think even for you and I and our backgrounds, we had something of that, even though we weren't a denomination. But I mean, you could go from one church to the next church to the next church, and it basically felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of Grace Partnership, and certainly not only because of the international involvement, we do have, absolutely, we have a shared affirmation of faith. I mean, we need to be clear on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so one would find on our webpage our affirmations. One would also find out what partnership means to us. And so those documents kind of lay those things out more clearly. But I think the difference is, if you will, that openness to a greater variety. Because we're not trying to establish the polity of every local church. We're not a council where elders from other churches are rendering decisions for other churches. Some of the things that set denominations mm-hmm. apart, we don't have the expectation that there is a shared liturgical experience Sunday to Sunday. And so one should, in theory, be able to walk into a church that's partnered with Grace Partnership on one Sunday, and then perhaps another one on another Sunday, and say, now these are quite different in the right ways. So that's how I would attempt to answer that question.
That's a great answer. And it's true that there have to be some things that we all hold, not just those within a current denomination, a name, if you will, of churches. But there are some things that all believers have to hold, and we have to agree upon those things. And if not, then we're talking about a different gospel, as Paul said.
Exactly. So we want a cultural and ethnic diversity while unified mm-hmm. around the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ is proclaimed as the one, the only Savior in any church that would affiliate with Grace Partnership. And I've alluded to this a few times. We do partner only with those who have a plurality of eldership, or they're well on their way. And in fact, that may be our starting point, just encouraging them, coming alongside of them to help them identify those local elders, because that's the model we see in the New Testament.
Now, you just had your conference, so it'll be a while before another opportunity for, let's say, pastors or pastoral teams to come and check that out. But that will happen. And give us your website so people can keep track of that.
Yeah, and on that website, Mike, there's a simple contact button. So it's the easiest way to get a hold of us, but it's gracepartnership.net.
Gracepartnership.net. Now, we mentioned Palm Sunday is the day that this transition is happening. What are your thoughts about moving from that day forward?
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it's coming, and putting my faith to the test as we build out our structure and our model and our support base. And one thing I'd want to stress, Mike, is it's not people supporting Grace Partnership is not about supporting Aaron per se. That's part of it, but we don't want our giving into our mission and care categories to diminish in this transition. And so really the way I'm cared for is as churches come online and they make their own faithful decision on how best to care for us. But yes, as you said, March 28th, Palm Sunday, is this transition. And it's definitely different than the last transition I had, in that we literally had a U-Haul truck packed and we rolled that thing south 1,000 miles, I'm not actually going anywhere. I will still be right there at Metro Life Church. I will no longer serve as one of the elders. And that's more a matter of time and practicality. We really want to ensure that the elders, even the lay elders, really their time is able to be given to that. And one of the, I guess you could say, fun challenges we've had these past years as the partnership's been growing is that constant tension of the local church schedule with the partnership schedule. And so we really want to make that as easy as possible. But my care will still be there at Metro. But in addition to that, the other directors of the partnership, my care and accountability will be with those structures. And so I'm not quite sure what I'll be feeling at 1 p.m. that day, but I will tell you one thing I'm so excited about for that Sunday is the fact that the founding pastor, Danny Jones, the second pastor, myself, and the third pastor, by way of lead pastors at Metro Life Church, we will all share the stage together. And I am so looking forward to that.
Well, as one of those pastors that wasn't the lead pastor, but was part of the founding pastor team, I'll be able to be there as well, Lord willing, and to see this church go forward. We always, in the early years there, we always had that expression of wanting to see this be a church that passed on what we had learned and what we were walking into the next generation.
Amen.
And that is happening.
Amen.
That's very exciting. Aaron Osborne, we wish you the best at Grace Partnership. That's gracepartnership.net.
That's correct.
And people can go there, find out all sorts of information about where you're going to be, what you're doing, and maybe as time opens up, goes on and things open up with missions trips, maybe some of our folks can join on one of those trips to Colombia or someplace else.
Absolutely. And if you've got that pastor friend that you think would be interested, just point them our direction.
Aaron Osborne, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. And friends, thank you for being with us. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.